Welcome to the Scotland Grows Show, the podcast partner of Scotland Grows magazine, where we celebrate Scottish gardening. I'm MT O'Donnell, publisher of Scotland Grows magazine, and your host for this adventure. We are delighted that this series of the Scotland Grows Show is sponsored by Roots, a subscription from National Trust for Scotland, which celebrates Scotland's flora in the form of a Roots pack sent to you every 6 weeks, containing Scottish seeds to grow at home for £6 a month. Sign up today at nts.org.uk/roots and use the code GROWS24 to receive an extra packet of seeds in your first delivery. If you have ever admired a plant display in a hotel, restaurant, airport or commercial space in the UK or Europe and wondered where they got those beautiful planters, then you're in for a surprise in this episode. Despite striking modern styles and innovative surface finishes, these planters probably do not hail from a fancy Italian design house. More likely, they were handmade right here in Scotland by the fabulous Living Green Design Limited. With over 25 years in the interior landscaping industry, I am delighted to chat with co-director of Living Green Design Limited, Karen Sawyer, to hear all about the exciting things going on with the company, from supplying planters for the COP26 conference to James Bond's Casino Royale. And in this episode, we get Karen's top recommendations to stay bang on trend in the houseplant game. Karen, welcome to the Scotland Grow Show. I am delighted to have you with us today. My worry in this podcast is that the first time we spoke, we must have spoke for about an hour and a half.
Yeah, it is a bit of a worry, but thanks for inviting me on. Hopefully it will be interesting for your listeners.
So you are co-director of Living Green Design Limited, a company that has been designing and manufacturing plant containers for professional landscape use for over 30 years. So tell us all about the company.
Oh, I'll try. So Living Green Design was part of a much bigger company, but there was a management buyout of a part of a company which became Living Green Design, where we design and manufacture a range of planters. But it's mostly planters that we have historically used for big commercial projects, so like roof terraces, garden designers, bespoke garden design projects, and a lot of interiors. We really started with interior planters, so the planters that you would find in hotels and banks and offices, and that sort of thing, which is pretty much my background. So that's in an absolute nutshell of what kind of thing it is that we do.
And you design and manufacture on site?
On site, yes. So we're just outside Edinburgh. So everything is all designed and manufactured right here. Absolutely madness. We have a manufacturing business just outside Edinburgh. So yes, so people sort of imagine that we have things shipped in from the Far East or, you know, this comes from somewhere else and we finish it here or something, but it's all completely handmade by our work team in here, completely from scratch. And each order we do is bespoke. Each order we do is individual for each customer. So we make to order. And so we don't have big masses of shelves full of planters. The whole idea is that people choose the design that they like from our standard range. Even we've got hundreds and hundreds of standard range. They choose the finish that they like and then we make it for them. We're quite sort of energy efficient in that way as well. So we're not just stocking lots of stuff or, you know, holding lots of stock or doing that. So we design things. We launch it out to people. We hope that they like it. And if they like it, they can choose what way round they want it or how they want it or what mix of colours or finishes or whatever they want it. So for example, if you were doing an office, the planters in that office should be unique completely to them. You know, the mix of planters that they have because they are choosing the shape, the style, the colours, the finish, and mixing them with other planters. So it's not like they're just having 20 of the same thing. So even if the office up the stairs was to choose the same thing, it would be similar, you know, but unique to each and every office.
And that's really exciting, isn't it, to know that you have got a range of planters which are bespoke and not just off the shelf at a large homeware store.
Yes, indeed. So they are all individual to each that wants them. So they're actually made to order for that person. So when you get them in your garden, as they are now, they are being made for that person.
So that's lovely. So you could pick planters to match a particular colour scheme in your garden. Or if you were a company, you can make planters that match your branding and have your logo on them.
Absolutely. So, for example, something that's quite on trend to do at home is all the window frames are different colours these days, lots of greys, that sort of thing. So a lot of people are choosing their planters to match things like their window frames or the front door, or, you know, that's so they could say, oh, this is such and such a kind of paint or such a colour or a RAL colour or whatever, that sort of thing. And then we do the planters and that finish and everything all pulls together and looks beautiful in the garden.
And I'm so glad I found you, because I am that person who's out with a can of spray paint every year, like, oh, let's change these grey planters and make them black. And that's fine for a couple of months, but they obviously do not survive the winter.
Yeah, no, they won't. No.
And by this time of year, the paint is literally peeling off.
Peeling off.
You know, because I'm trying to not buy new planters, but just spray them. But the great thing about your planters is that they're sustainable. And we'll come on to talk about that in a minute, about their lifetime performance. But you touched on the fact that everything is designed and manufactured right here in Scotland. But you distribute throughout the UK, throughout Europe, the Middle East and America, don't you?
Yes, that's right. So the UK, absolutely every day, all over the place we go. Europe, every week, we have something being distributed somewhere throughout Europe. But we also, in the Middle East, we have a company called Planters Dubai, who look after the Middle East for us. So they have a license to make our products in Dubai. So they do that there and then serve the Middle East from there as well. So just things like, again, sustainability mostly, but just that whole sort of making it here, transporting it over there is just crazy. They have a facility there where they can manufacture. So they do it under license there and look after all the Middle East for us out there.
So your planters are well traveled throughout the world and they're well seen throughout the world.
They are. On holiday with us is a bit mad, because we just kind of spend our time going, oh, look, there's our planters. Oh, look, there's our planters. It's really sad.
So your planters are seen in lots of airports. And what about other exotic or exciting locations where people may have seen your planters but not realised those planters were designed and manufactured in Scotland?
Well, there's lots of things. So it's really funny, actually, when you see people's holiday photos and they're just saying, oh, we're just going on holiday, look here. And you think, oh, yeah, that's my planter in the background. So that's quite fun to do, mostly in Dubai and things like that, because there's a lot of stuff there. But also, as you say, things like airports. So things like most of the planters in Charles de Gaulle Airport, for example, are ours. There's things like it pops up a lot, actually. So you might be watching the news and somebody being interviewed, politician or whatever, and they're always interviewed with a plant in the background. If they're in an office, almost always there's a plant in the background. And almost always they're our planter that's in the picture as well. We've had things pop up on all sorts of different TV programmes. There's even the French pop idol had our planters in the background. We actually made planters especially for a James Bond film for the Casino Royale. And the roundabout outside Casino Royale, we had our planters outside there with palm trees that we did as well, because my past life was doing the plants as well, and we actually did the whole jungle scene actually for Casino Royale. So the bits where they're jumping through Daniel Craig's jumping through the jungle and all that sort of stuff, it's all our plants that are there. And I remember speaking to somebody and saying, oh, we're going to do the plants for this James Bond film, and they said, oh, we wouldn't even notice if they didn't have plants in there, you know. And they're thinking like a little house plant inside, like, well, I think you'd notice if you was running through the jungle and there was no plants there, you know, but okay, that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you, you know, that's okay. So they pop up almost everywhere that you look. I mean, even if you're looking in Scotland, for example, Silverburn Shopping Centre is full of them. East Kilbride, we did a nice, really big bespoke display outside there. Aidan Country Park in Aberdeen, we've just done a really nice seat planter for them up there for in their visitor centre. The roof terrace at Victoria Hospital, we did with GP Plantscapes. They put out a beautiful display of lots of different planters out there, quite a lot actually. Then just lots of companies that people might work for, you know. So if you're in Skyscanner or Aegon or Standard Life, our planters are in all of these places. If you go to the golf, if you go to the Open, all our planters that are out there, they get wheeled out every year. We just did, there's a new learning campus in Wallyford, and we just did a whole load of seat planters and things, barrier planters, all sorts of things, and lovely green walls and things we did as well, actually, for them and there. So they're almost everywhere that you look without knowing that that's what you're looking at.
Isn't that exciting? So your job, I mean, I know you've got quite a big and important and very busy job, Karen, but your job could actually be living green plant spotter.
Yeah.
Sorry, living green plant pot spotter, should
spotter.
Say.
Spotter, yeah, yeah, pot. We could have a nap, you know, like Pokemon Go. Yeah. But with planters.
Yeah, there you go. You could have QR codes embedded in all these planters. And
on
these
planters, people have got to collect their tickets.
Yeah, home and away. But that must be a nightmare to sit and watch TV with you, because you must be like, that's our planter, that's our planter, yeah, that's our planter.
And if it's cool, if it's like in a really cool place or it's a good picture, you're like, stop, I need to take a screenshot of that, rewind. Stop it. Stop the screen. Need to take a photo of the screen. So yeah, it's a joy.
You're the type of person that gets thrown out of the cinema then because you've got your phone out.
Yeah, it's like someone out taking pictures of things.
So apart from your planters being in super exciting locations, let's talk a bit about the planters themselves, because predominantly they are made from fiberglass and that has a really great sustainable performance.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So pretty much every single thing that we do, because we do lots of water features as well. So I've not even told you about water features yet. So we do seating, log stores, water butts, planters, water features, and everything can all be done so that it all in all the different finishes, different colours, all that sort of stuff. But it's all made from fiberglass. So when we say it's handmade to order, it is literally handmade to order from glass and resin, right here, from made from nothing, if you like, right through to the finished product. Now, there's lots of very good things about using fiberglass. It's nice and light for getting it in and out of your garden. You know, you're not having to hire cranes to drop stuff over houses and all that sort of stuff. It's very easy to use. Perfect for roof terraces, balconies, balcony gardening, all that sort of stuff. Absolutely perfect for all of that kind of thing. The finishes, you can replicate pretty much anything. So we do like a beautiful Corten steel finish, beautiful aged lead stones, you name it. We replicate lots of different finishes as well as just the colours and that sort of stuff. But most importantly, we sell it as an all of life product because nothing's going to happen to it. And this is one of the good environmental things about fiberglass, is that nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to deteriorate in any way. So unless a car crashes into it or it's deliberately vandalized or something like that, it's not going to rot or rust or, you know, any of these things. It's just going to just sit there looking lovely for as long as you want it to look, and probably be in the garden longer than us. And the thing is as well, like, through time, somebody like yourself, and you're saying you maybe have a planter and you think, oh, I want that to be a different colour now, or I've changed the colour in my front door or something. We do a recycling service as well. So if somebody's got something and they've had it for 10 years, change the door colour, move house, whatever, they can send them back to us and we can completely refurbish them, refinish them back to good as new and get them back out to them. So once you purchase our planters or water feature or log store, you should never need to ever replace that ever again. So is the sustainable story is very solid. We were actually, remember COP26 in Glasgow and all the world leaders came? So we were approached by people that were doing the design for the interiors for that. And they came and they said to us, could we, looking at having planters? And we said, well, they're from fiberglass. And at first they said, oh, no, we can't have any plastic, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, they're not, it's fiberglass, you know. So anyway, very long story short, we put our planters along with lots of other planters head to head to see what would be better, whether it be wood, whether it be steel, whether it be fiberglass, and put things through quite a rigorous process of what planters they should use for COP26, because they couldn't be seen to be using anything that wasn't sustainable or wasn't very friendly to the planet for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And we won. They decided that we were the most sustainable planters, especially because of where they were, because we were literally making them in outside Edinburgh and taken them to Glasgow. So that was the furthest that they were travelling as well. So yes, we were chosen as the official supplier of all the main planters for the COP26 conference. So that was quite interesting. That was quite a nice one to do.
And exactly as you said, it's so good that the powers that be not only recognise the fiberglass is lighter, it's stronger, it's longer lasting than some traditional materials, but they actually took the carbon footprint into place as well.
Yes.
And thought, let's not give the contract to someone who's bringing these in from a 6-hour flight away.
Yes.
You know, the product is the best product, but the placement of the company and how short a transportation that is also won out. So that's really exciting that your planters
So that was really nice. I mean, it wasn't the biggest thing we've ever done, but it was just nice to be recognised officially, you know, as a proper sustainable product. So we've done lots of gardens, or participated a lot of gardens at the Chelsea Flower Show. Oh, so we did things like last year we worked with Paul Harvey Brooks and his garden. This was the garden, you'll remember, the one that got hit by the Stop Oil protesters. So we did a beautiful water feature for him on that garden. We've worked with Anne-Marie Powell. We did actually the RHSE's own garden a few years ago, celebrating the Queen's 90th birthday. And we made actually planters for the Queen as well, for her 90th birthday, and they got distributed to five different houses, which was quite interesting. And we're doing a garden this year at Chelsea Flower Show. So if people came to Chelsea Flower Show this year, it's one of the container gardens, and it's a rainwater harvesting garden that's all, pretty much every single thing in the garden is ours as well. So there's lots of things to see at Chelsea Flower Show as well that belong to Living Green Design.
Wow, that's fabulous. I am definitely going down to Chelsea this year, so I will be sure to check those planters on that garden out, and I will have pictures on our Instagram and Facebook feeds for everyone to see if you're not going to Chelsea.
Fabulous.
So will you be at Chelsea yourself, or do you just send
we'll be at Chelsea ourselves this year as well. Last year we spent the whole week. This year maybe a couple of days we'll do on the garden, just promoting and chatting about the containers and the water butts and the water features and all that sort of thing. It's all going to be in this tiny little, it's one of the container gardens this year.
So are you supplying everything and someone else is designing it, or are you doing everything?
Yes. Yeah. We're doing the supply only. It was all designed by the garden designer, and we're doing the supply only.
Good. Excellent. Now, your background, as you alluded to a little while ago, is in interior landscaping. So we hear a lot in gardening about gardening outside, but of course, post-pandemic, indoor jungles have become such a massive trend.
Yes.
And even people who, particularly in urban settings, who don't have access to their own garden, can still have a beautiful indoor garden. So how did you get into interior landscaping as a career?
Yeah, so I'm a real fraud, an absolute fraud. I have no horticultural qualifications whatsoever. I completely fell into it a little bit by accident, actually. So I was working for Rentokil, as in Rentokil kills the rats, Rentokil, and with pest control. I was working in the pest control department, and they had this other part of the business, and at that point in time it was called Rentokil Tropical Plants. I had no idea. And so to this day, people have no idea that it's a whole industry of people that put plants into buildings and then look after them. So I thought, I quite like the idea of that. And I sort of looked into it and I thought, I think I could do that. That should, but I mean, I wouldn't have known one end of a plant from the other, not a clue. So anyway, they advertised at some point in time they were looking for a new salesperson to do it. So I chanced my arm and applied for it, and they managed, for some reason, don't even know how, to get this job. So once I got the job, I had a lot of learning to do. I had to learn lots of interior plants, lots of house plants, how about them all, how they all worked, where you could put them, where you can't put them, what they like to do, what they don't like to do, what's going to work in an office, what's not going to work in an office, what you put in the front door, what you can't, what goes in the dark, all of these things. And I literally mean, I did not have a clue. So everything was taught by Rentokil. So amazingly, Rentokil, as in the rat company, they, at that point in time, which was in the 90s, I know, I'm not that old. So they were the biggest plant rental business in the world. So they had offices in France, in Spain, in Holland, in America. I think the American business was worth, like, I'm going to make it up now, but something like £1 billion or something ridiculous. A huge, huge business. And there we were, based out of a little office in Lanark, doing the interior landscaping for Scotland. And I loved it. I absolutely loved what I did. Rentokil to work for were brilliant. I did incredibly well with them. It worked all really well. And I loved going into offices, hotels, banks, whatever, and designing for them what they should have, what plants they should have inside, and giving them their schemes. I absolutely adored it. So that was 1997 when I did that. And I learned pretty much all I needed to learn at that point about interior landscaping from them.
And we've almost come full circle, haven't we, with a love for houseplants now, because, as yes. I said before, it's so on trend. And mm-hmm. I guess we've probably embraced the fact that we can grow inside things that maybe we can't grow outside. So we can have more tender things growing inside, and we can have greenery all year round.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing, actually, the trend in plants as well, as in the style of planting as well. So people think of, like, your interiors, and you'll change your sofas and you'll change your wallpaper and your furniture and all that sort of stuff. But people don't realise the whole trend in the change of plants. When I was doing this in the 90s, the trend was very much quite stark plants. So you'd maybe have something like a Ficus benjamina, but like on a standard. So you'd have a nice twisted braided stem and a top, and the top dressing on the planter, you would maybe have just stones or something like that. You would have no underplanting in it. It would be quite stark because it was all very minimalist. So it was all like big, tall, stark plants. And it went from that to then having tall planters with a tiny, tiny, teeny little planter on the top, you know, and maybe something quite structural, you know, so you'd have kind of some sort of bonsai type looking things, you know, so like a ficus ginseng or something like that, that you would have on the top of your planter, and you'd have them in groups of three or five and be all very stark, you know, that sort of thing. And I remember then when you would be talking to people about having plants in their office, and they would say, oh, you know, and you'd say, oh, don't worry, it's nothing like your granny's kitchen that you would have, you know, we'll make this all beautiful for you. And now what you want, the style now, is your granny's kitchen. You know, you want that great big fat monstera. You want it to climb all over the place. You know, you want great big leaves. You want lots of plants mass planted all over it. Be a bit wild, you know, so that's what's very on trend at the minute. So it's really amazing how over time, you know, you can change your decor, but you change the style of plants as well. So even the plants that you're looking at would need to change to keep your interiors on trend.
Wow, you really came alive there when you were talking about houseplants, your enthusiasm for them. It's palpable. So if I could pin you down then, if you could mm-hmm. only have three houseplants, which ones would you choose and why would you choose them, Karen? And this will be very interesting for listeners.
Oof. Now, let me think. What would you really choose? What would you have? So I think it's important. I'm quite sentimental with things. So I think, first of all, probably your monstera that we were just talking about, because it's just fabulous. It's just impactful and easy as well. You know, so the people that say, oh, I can't look after houseplants, you know, get monstera, you'll be fine. You'll be grand. That'll be fine. But the other thing as well is about that is buy them quality-wise, because most of the people that say I can't look after houseplants is because they've bought it from a supermarket at the front door in the cold, and that's a whole other story, but we won't go into that just now. So a big monstera, but maybe something that somebody's given you, you know, maybe something that somebody's handed down to you, take it and then look after that and nurture it. So something like that, something that's going to, that you're going to love and look after, and big and fat, and it'll take over a bit. And you can look, you know, like the best planty person in the world, but it's just because it's big, you know, so that I would say. And remember, it's a climber, you know, remember it will climb. And remember, if it's got aerial roots, it will climb up your wall. So just, if you wanted to climb up your wall, that's great. If you don't, just watch out. For me, I would have an anthurium. And actually, because let's add you a little bit of colour, adds a little bit of something into your house. But that to me is a little bit sentimental. It was one of the first plants that my husband gave my mother. He's really into horticulture. He's the real deal. I'm the made up one. So it was one of the first things. There's lots of things, anthuriums. Even my mother-in-law has an anthurium and a planter we made for her in her living room. And it just kind of follows me around. And it always has done. It was one that when we did interior landscaping, I'd love to stick in an anthurium, you know, that a wee anthurium in the corner, you know, that sort of thing. And then I think after that, if you had another one, this is quite standard, would just be a spathiphyllum, like a peace lily. And that's because she will tell you how she feels. She will tell you when she needs a good drink, you know, and she is fed up and she needs a good drink and you give her a good drink. And then 2 minutes later, you look at her and she's grand again, you know. So that's something that you can really tell how they're feeling, you know, whether it's something that's just going to face the window and you've got to keep continually turning the thing around because, you know, it keeps needing moved around, or something that's really going to like flop and say, you need to look after me. So she's not going to just die on you. You know, she'll give you warning that you need to actually give her some attention. So I think that they would be my three chosen ones.
I love those three choices because now I feel super on trend because I have those plants.
There you go, see?
I think I have 7 or 8 peace lilies around the house. I just love them. They're so easy to care for. And like you say, they tell you, literally tell you when they want a drink.
Yeah.
The leaves are lovely, glossy. Oh, they're just gorgeous. Yeah, so great plant choices. And I'm sure people listening who have those plants will also be thinking, yes, I'm so tired.
Yes, got them. Absolutely.
I guess when we're talking about houseplants and when you were doing all the interior landscaping, you probably had to give people advice all the time about how to care for houseplants. Do you have kind of a general piece of advice that you would give to everyone, no matter the plant, or is it very plant dependent?
Can be kind of plant dependent or specific to the room. I have a funny story. Do you want me to tell you a funny story?
Absolutely.
So I remember once I was going around a building with somebody and they had plants already, and this person thought they knew quite a lot about plants, which they did actually, to be fair, you know, they did. And they were going around and they were saying, oh, do you know what this one attracts? It attracts mealybug, or this one attracts like red spider mite, and that sort of thing as we were going around. I said, yeah, you're right. And then as we got into a corner, they had a big bamboo, and I said to him, oh, do you know what this one attracts? And he says, what? I said, pandas. It was quite amusing. But apart from that, what I would say is if you have something with really light leaves, something variegated, that sort of thing, just remember light, it needs to go to the light. And if you have something that's really dark leaves, that sort of thing, it'll take a lot more shade. So again, if you're buying plants for a specific part of the house, just look at what the light is like in that part of the house. And if it's a darker area, get something dark. If it's a lighter area, get something that's light. And that's a quite basic sort of standard of buying houseplants. But it's amazing the amount of people that just don't know to do that.
And it's exactly the same philosophy that's carried from the garden to the house with plants. It's right plant, right place. So you can't just buy a houseplant and stick it anywhere and think it will survive. You know, a dark room with no light and minimal watering. If those are not the requirements that it needs.
Yeah. And the opposite as well. You know, a lot of people that think, oh, I bought this houseplant, so I've put it on my kitchen window ledge, it gets lots of sun. And you think, well, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so just horses for courses, like, you know, plants for anywhere, you need to know where to put them. And once you know that, you'll be grand. You'll be a genius. Absolutely. Planting genius.
Planting genius. That's a good term.
Yeah.
So for anyone who wants to be a planting genius this year and who is thinking, right, and this is a great time of year, isn't it, to start to think about new accessories for the garden. Mm-hmm. It can be, my pots are looking like mine, a little bit tarnished with having been oversprayed. So if someone's thinking, right, I need now to get new planters, or I need to look at a water feature, or I need to look at new furniture, where can they find out more about all of your products at Living Green, and can they come and see them? Because there is nothing better than supporting a local Scottish company. Let's not get the stuff flown in from elsewhere when we can make it right here and you can distribute it right here. So how will people find out a wee bit more about your range of products, apart from, of course, your lovely feature in the Scotland Grows magazine, which I'm sure...
Oh, yes, of course. Everybody will have read that.
I'm sure all our listeners have already read that and found out about all of the amazing things you do. But what if they wanted to find out a bit more or come along and see things?
So there's a few different things. Firstly, look online. So the www.livinggreendesign.com. Living Green has one G. It's really annoying. I do appreciate that. So it's living and then greendesign.com. Everything is on the website there to have a look at, first of all. Second of all, send us an email, send us a picture of something you've seen, that kind of thing. That can often help. We're not a shop. We don't have a shop here, but we do have a small showroom. It's by appointment only, because doing things to the consumer is all quite new to us. It's just something we're sort of offering out now. We've done quite a lot of Chelsea garden designs, and then we've been more and more people have said, where can we buy your water features? Where can we buy your planters? And that's kind of why we've sort of opened up to doing this. So to actually come and physically see them by appointment, so just phone us up. And if you've got a decent sized project that you're working on, you can come and we can have a look and show you what we do, show you the different finishes. But also, if you want to see a finish before you buy something, we can send you out swatches, we can send you out things to put in your garden. I often say to people, it can be quite an investment. So we'll send you swatches, put them out in your garden, watch them for a week or longer than that, sit outside, have a glass of wine, stare at them and make sure that you get the choices just right before you go and delve in and just buy exactly what planters and finishes you think that it is that you want, you know, just to be sure about it. So although we're not a shop, we will be as helpful as possible in making sure that your choices are just right for you.
Well, that's great. And I think perhaps if you're a listener who hasn't maybe thought so much about plant choices before, then this is all great to hear. If you've thought, okay, just pick up a pot wherever I see one, and you end up with this complete mismatch in your garden, it's maybe time to put some thought into how you stage those plants and how that can have such an amazingly different effect in the garden.
Absolutely. And kind of actually with that as well, also have our own range of Cretian terracotta pots. So if you think the fiberglass ones are not quite what you're looking for that sort of more traditional real clay, we actually bring them in direct from a master potter, not Harry Potter, a master potter in Crete. And we bring them over. So we've got a huge range of things in stock here. Now, if somebody wanted to save a bit of money, they could come and pick it up as well. So that we don't have to transport it out to them. So that could be quite a good saving as well. Or if somebody wanted to come and have a look and choose something, we can do, you know, all of that sort of thing. So we like to make sure that people are choosing the right thing for them, for the garden. We want them to be delighted. You know, we want them to sit outside. We don't get awful long to sit outside in Scotland in our gardens, you know. So be quite nice to make sure that your choice is just right, whether it's one of the water features, whether it's a planter, a log store, some furniture, some terracotta pots. And the terracotta pots out there are absolutely beautiful. And that all came about from going on holiday and it rained. So what else do you do on holiday? You go and look at plant pots, you know. So most people bring back a fridge magnet. You know, we brought back shipping containers full of planters.
So don't go on holiday with Karen and don't watch TV with her. No.
It's all absolutely about, obsessed. Yes.
Yeah, all about the planters. You literally walk the walk.
I was in a restaurant a couple of nights ago and they had not our planters, they were just other planters, and there was a little bit of a mishmash of the way they had them laid out, and I couldn't even look at them. I was like, what? I can't stare at them. I can't look at them any longer. And I said, do you think they'd mind if I just went and moved their plant pots about? They were like, get out, leave the restaurant, let's go. Does she ever stop?
It's busman's holiday, isn't it?
Yeah. They weren't even mine.
So we'll pop all the links in the show notes through to your website as well, so that people can find out a bit more about your fab range of products. Can I thank you so much, Karen, for being a guest on the Scotland Grow Show. It's just wonderful to talk to people who not just are gardening and growing in Scotland, but someone like you and your husband who are actually designing and manufacturing and making things for the garden industry right here in Scotland, which is fabulous.
Yep. Hopefully people will find it interesting to know that things can be made right here in Scotland. And if you want, you can pick them up, see where we are, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so hopefully they'll like the idea of their planters being made in Scotland.
Well, lovely to chat to you today, Karen, and I hope to catch up with you again soon.
Yeah, I'll catch you soon.
Don't forget to follow us on social media by searching for Scotland Grows across Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn, and sign up for our mailing list at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com so you never miss an episode of the Scotland Grows Show. And if you are not yet subscribed to receive Scotland Grows Magazine, 6 times a year, straight to your inbox, literally packed with Scottish gardening goodness, then be sure to do so as soon as possible, and you'll even get access to all the back issues. Details can be found on our website at scotlandgrowsmagazine.com, across our social media feeds, and in the show notes for this episode. The information on the National Trust for Scotland's Roots subscription is also in the show notes, and they would appreciate your support to help National Trust for Scotland's gardens and designed landscapes thrive. I look forward to you joining me on the next episode of the Scotland Grows Show as we celebrate Scottish gardening.